Will be from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2. We have here a short chapter. Please don't get used to that in the prophet Ezekiel, as he tends to write a little longer chapters than what we have. In fact, some commentators, as I have been preparing ahead, have said, now we should have a chapter break here, although we don't. So there you go. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost well among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So I've divided this chapter into two sections, Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and then 6 through 10. Nice, neat division right there in the middle. So first of all, the voice comes. It pierces that firmament, right? Remember in chapter 1, we had the cherubim, and they're moving all over the place in these straight lines, and there's these wheels turning, and there's the sound of their wings, and they're whoosh, 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 up and down and left and right. And we said that those were the workings, the representation of the workings of the providence of God, that it moves straight and at angles, not meandering, and so on. And then over the top of that, presiding over it all, there was this amber or sapphire sort of firmament at the top. It was a separation, wasn't it? And above, you could see through it. And so in seeing through it in the vision, Ezekiel saw someone sitting on a throne. And we said last week that was a comforting vision because of the rainbow. Remember that? The rainbow. And then also because the one seated on the throne looked more like a man than the angels, than the cherubim that were flying around. And that was, and that spoke to God's communion with his people. Okay. Now, the voice comes and it pierces through this firmament. It is the God who is not afar off. It is God who is near, who pierces the firmament and speaks to Ezekiel and says to him, I'm going to speak to my people, and you're going to do that for me. Interesting, isn't it? So there are several things here at the beginning of this chapter that we ought to think about in God's gracious condescension. The first is that God's essential separation, his essential holiness, his essential person, who God is in himself, does not require that he remain separate from men. He is not a God afar off. He is a God who is near. Even though there is a separation there, that firmament, that sapphire sidewalk, as we've called it before, that sapphire ceiling that was over the top of the cherubim, and someone above directing the whole thing from heaven, from above that, still, he speaks and his voice pierces the barrier. He condescends to commune with human beings in the speech of his prophet. I don't know if I can rightly, in just the few moments that we have in a reading, or even sermon upon sermon upon sermon, show to you the greatness of that condescension. Remember, we talked about the holiness of God a few weeks ago, and we said there are not enough sermons in the world to do that, because there is an infinite separation between us and God. But God pierces through. The other thing we want to recognize is that no angel goes up and pierces that ceiling. No man goes up and pierces that ceiling. No. God must come down. His voice must come from heaven. And in that, it is his word, his voice, that comes from heaven. We might think of that incarnate word who comes from heaven and pierces the veil and tabernacles among us. Every revelation of God that human beings enjoy come through Jesus Christ. John 1:9 teaches us that Christ is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. His is the mind that encompasses all minds. He is the revealer of truth. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No man knows the Father save the Son. No man knows the Son save the Father. No man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. What do you know about God? Anything you know about God has come through the veil, through Jesus Christ. He is the revealer of God. So what a wonderful, wonderful thing, first of all, that God reveals himself. But second of all, and even more amazing than what we've just talked about, is that God will reveal himself to a rebellious house. I dare say that God is more patient and kind than we are. We are much more apt to blow someone off than God is. God has made his covenant promise to his people. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen it in Genesis over and again. We've seen it in Exodus over and again. We see it in 1 Samuel over and again. And so God has been gracious and condescending and kind to a people that have returned the favor by rebelling against him, and yet his promises are sure. They are a rebellious house, but I'm sending you to them, Ezekiel. Now, you are to speak, Ezekiel, whether they hear or whether they forbear. It doesn't matter the response. Ezekiel, you will speak the truth to them. You will hear what I say, and you will tell it to them, no matter what their reaction and response is. Period. Boy, these are real world things, aren't they? We're not, you know, in other words, let me say it this way, the Lord's not playing games here, is he? This is condescension to a rebellious house. They are rebellious. They are transgressors in a multi-generational sense, they and their fathers. They are impudent, literally in the Hebrew, that's hard-faced, and then finally they are stiff-hearted. Yet, the Lord says, it is my very words. Thus saith the Lord God, this is what you will speak to them. It's not because they will hear. It's not because they will not hear. They will know that a prophet has been among them. So what a kindness it is of the Lord, according to his covenantal promise, that he sends a prophet to his rebellious house. We want to note then that in Ezekiel's day, there were some who heard and some who did not. And this will be the case throughout all history, from the Old Testament to the New. When the word of God is preached, when the word of God is spoken, there will be some among the professed people of God that hear and some that won't. And so we must examine our own hearts to see which of those two houses we're in. And then the third use is, note that the Lord gives his word through his prophets and he strengthens them to that task. He says to Ezekiel, stand up on thy feet. The Spirit of God enters into him and he stands up on his feet. He's not able to do that of himself. And I hope that we all make the application, and I appreciate that. I believe that you do. I know some of you tell me that you do, and it's very encouraging to me that you pray for me in my preaching. We should be doing that. That the Spirit of God would enter into the preacher and cause him to stand upon the Word of God alone and not upon the doctrines and commandments of men. All right, so we come to verse 6 then. And notice, as we spoke of reproach earlier, now we speak of it here. Don't be afraid of them, Ezekiel. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And so, those of you who have designs for the ministry of the gospel, understand that some days the ministry is attended with thorns, briars, and scorpions. And you don't get a pass because it's thus attended. You must continue to speak the word of God. You must not be afraid of personal harm. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Why scorpions? Because the sting of the scorpion is incredibly painful. That's why. That house you're preaching to, it might feel like you're running through a briar patch. It might feel like you've walked into a scorpion's den. It might feel like that. You continue to preach, whether they hear or whether they forbear. They are a most rebellious house. Notice, Ezekiel is not to tune his ear to them, but to the word of God. Listen to what he says in verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. What an amazing passage. And so Ezekiel is told that if he tunes his ear to the people rather than to the Lord, he will be shirking his mission. He will be fleeing his post. The Lord tells him, open your mouth and eat what I give you. Don't listen to them, listen to me. Hear my word and teach that to them, though they are a most rebellious house. And then finally we get a glimpse at what the Lord will give to Ezekiel. In the next chapter, We're going to see in that standard fashion that roll is going to be eaten, right? Now, You know, this is like, okay, so my wife and I were watching a cooking show the other day looking for ideas, and there's this recipe we saw where there was this stuff rolled up. You know, it was a rolled out bread thing, and you put in some broccoli and some, I don't know, some other stuff, and you roll it up, right? And then you bake it and you cut it, right? Okay, well, the Lord is bringing him a roll, but before he eats it, the Lord unrolls it and he shows him what's in it. Here's what you're going to be preaching, Ezekiel. Are you ready? Look at the last three or four words of the chapter there. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. That's your message. That's what I'm going to put into your mouth to speak to my people. Lamentations, mourning, and woe. Now, may I say, as we read the rest of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to see lamentations, mourning, and woe. But we're also going to see hope and confidence and salvation. We're going to see that too. The Lord here is bringing the most difficult portion to prepare him for the ministry that he will have among the people of God. Because in chapters 40 through 48, we're going to read about the return of the glory of God to the house of God in the person of the prince. We're going to read about the church of the New Testament, where the grace that flows out from it is first to the ankles, then to the calf, then to the knee, then to the thigh, then to the waist, then to the chest. Then it's a river that no man can pass over. And it's going to flow out into all the countries. So there will be some statements of mercy and grace. And we ought to know that about the preaching of the word, right? That many times it's going to be filled with lamentation and woe, even some discouragement maybe, mourning. But it will never be completely devoid of grace, mercy, and peace. And we'll leave it right there with Ezekiel chapter 2.